the blessing to have all of you that went out of your way to be here with us this morning. And the ones of you that we expected to be here, we're glad to see you too. We love all of you. You know, the whole scope of our lives is to teach you the Word of God so every day you'd have something to stand on. At every time in your life when something comes against you, you'd know how to deal with it. And that's all I can do for you. Love you and teach you. I can pray for you. I can pray with you. But you know, when it comes right down to your walk with God, it's your choices. Walk what the Word of God says we should do and how we should do it, or just make up our own mind and walk it the way we want to walk it and say, well, if it don't work, it just don't work. But God's never failed you yet, and He never will. This message this morning that I'm going to do, there was at least one line in every song that Ricardo picked out this morning that I could have picked out and said, this goes with my message. I told you last week that my message this morning was going to be, has anyone seen Jesus? Has anyone seen Jesus? Now, I guess you could take that in a lot of different directions, but I'm going to call your attention to start with to John chapter 12. And the first part of the chapter is his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, where he rode the donkey and everybody was rejoicing and waving the palm branches and saying, hail to the king, and all of these other things. And a lot of people were there. A lot of people. And beginning in verse 19, I want to show you the reaction. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing? He's saying it to themselves. Look, the world has gone after him. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Certain Greeks. You know what a Greek is? He's not a Jew. Okay? He's a Greek. Not part of the promised people. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. We wish to see Jesus. King James says, we would see Jesus. Philip came, and I'm going to read you quite a bit of scripture, but I'm not going to say too much during the reading of it. I'll keep you here till 3. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life shall lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Then Jesus says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever, and how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Remember that verse. The light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Now we're going to skip down to verse 42 to save the time of reading, because I'm not going to be saying anything about that section in there. Remember it says, and he departed and was hidden from them. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praises of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Father, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus for the power of your word, for the strength that we find in it, Lord God, that helps us arise in the morning and face the day and know that when evening comes, you're still going to be with us no matter what the day brought. And we thank you, Lord God, for that. And we thank you, Lord God, this morning for each one that's here. I pray, Heavenly Father, that they'll not leave this place this morning without having received a revelation from you, Lord God, about their own lives and about the things around them. And now, Lord God, I just pray that you'd be lifted up in this place today. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. And we started out with a question or a request from some Greeks that said, we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. And Philip and Andrew came to Jesus and told him what they had said. And in response to their wishing to see Jesus, Jesus began to teach them. He began to open their eyes. Open our eyes, Lord. Out of the darkness he shines. It's just two of the songs this morning. And then he began to tell them about what we think was the most brutal event in human history. And he was talking about his crucifixion. And he said in his talking, Father, glorify your name. And the Father said back to him, I've already glorified it, and I'll do it again. I'll glorify it again. And then a little bit later he said, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Will draw all people to myself. Now, if he draws all people to him, what are they going to do? Are they going to see him? Are they going to see him? Have you seen Jesus? You better be watchful how you answer that question. Have you seen Jesus? We would see Jesus. We wish to see Jesus. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talked about himself as being the light of the world. I am the light of the world. In Luke chapter 11, he said the same thing. And here in John chapter 12, he said it again. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Now, if you want to know what the word darkness means, read your handout this morning, and you'll find out what the word darkness means. But it means, in one sense, spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness. Now, listen to the wording of this. And whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. It doesn't say whoever believes in me can't abide in darkness. It doesn't say won't abide in darkness. It says that you should not abide in darkness. In other words, there's a way out. There's a way out of darkness. And the way out of darkness is to follow the light. And that limits it down immensely. Now, you know, we're not in darkness in here this morning. But these lights are man-made. We have light in here. Sure, we have light in here. The lights are man-made. But you step outside where there are no man-made lights. And unless it's cloudy right now, it's a whole lot brighter out there than it is in here. And if we had all of our lights on, it would still be lighter out there than it is in here. Now, what I'm saying is this. There are lights that you can fix yourself on that will lead you in the wrong direction. And the lights become dangerous when the lights are focused on anything other than Jesus. If you think something is light and you're going to follow it, if it doesn't glorify Jesus, if it doesn't lift up Jesus, if it isn't something that's compatible with His nature, if it isn't pointing to Him, don't follow it. And sad to say, you can run across that situation in churches. There are churches that are full, and they're preaching something other than Jesus. They're glorifying their church. It's awesome to be able to have a church, and you be proud of the church where you are and everything. But we're not here for the purpose of this church. We're here for the purpose of enlightening people and letting them see Jesus. It's always been our goal. I told somebody here recently, we were talking about things. And I said, I've got a bachelor's degree from Campbellsville University. I've got a master's degree from Asbury Seminary. I've got a doctor's degree. As a matter of fact, I got two doctor's degrees from Omega Bible School and seminary. And I said, you know what that means? I said, it means I'm an educated country boy. It means I'm an educated country boy with all that stuff. And I earned it. See, I was smart enough in college that I could play basketball and still graduate magna cum laude. And that was just a fun remark. But I'm still a country boy. That's what I am. I've had minister friends that ask me, why don't you move to some church in some big city? You can have a really big church in a big city. I've actually had that said to me. And you know the reason I've never done it? Because I'm happy where God put me. And I haven't felt any urge to move. I'm a country boy. And I might be able to teach or preach just as good as some of these TV evangelists. But I'm still a country boy. And I'll tell you what, you're country people. And you deserve as much as anybody else to hear what the true and living Word of God is all about. And I'm not blowing my own horn for saying that. That's not what I mean. But you know, sometimes we get this attitude, well, you know, I'd do this or I'd do that, but that's just too much for me. It's too much for me. I just don't have it in me. You need to start looking at the one that's in you instead of looking at your circumstances. We would see Jesus. How many of you know that you can look around you and you can see anywhere you want to look, you can see something besides Jesus? From your own home to where you work to your neighborhood to your nation to the world, whatever country you go to, you don't even have to just get out here and stand on the side of the street and you'll see something other than Jesus. Have you ever heard the word or the use of the two words sin consciousness? Sin consciousness. That means you look at sin. You're sin conscious. And what you see in your own life is the sin and the failure and the lack of being what you know and or at least think you ought to be. And you look at that, and when you look at it, its little voice says, you're a mess, aren't you? And you're trying to follow Jesus? In truth and reality, you set your mind like that, and what you're going to be following is sin consciousness. All you're ever going to see is sin. And after you see sin for a while in so many places, it just dulls you to the fact that there's anything good at all going around. The whole world's gone to hell. No, it hasn't. There's still believers. There's still light here. If there weren't believers, yeah, maybe the whole world would have already gone to hell. But for the sake of the elect, you know who elected you? I don't say Jesus. You elected you when you chose to believe in Jesus. See, Jesus wanted to save you. He wanted to heal you. He wanted to do all these things for you. But we got it when we started saying, okay, I'm the elect. I elect myself right now, Jesus. I'm a candidate. Here I am. Give me what you said you was going to give us. Thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, you can sit around, turn on the TV, turn on the radio, talk to your friend, talk to your neighbors, and you can get a conversation going real quick on steal, kill, and destroy. But let's focus our attention on Jesus. Let's not take our eyes off of Him. Let's look at Him. Let's be like these Greeks. We want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. Now, if we're born again, He lives in us. Now, and I'm just playing on words right here to make you see this picture. There's some of us, maybe all of us, have got some doors that are shut and some rooms that are closed in our lives, and those rooms are dark. Now, we can't have the attitude, don't open that door, I don't want to go in there. There's too much going on in that room. I'm afraid of that room. You know what you need to do? Open the door and let the light shine in it. And you know that what I'm talking about. There are people all the time, they try to hide things from God. They try to keep the light from shining on some things that they don't want God to know about. What in the world is it that you've done that God don't know about? He knows more about what you've done than you do. Because sometimes we do things and people ask us, why'd you do that? And our answer would be, I don't know. Yes, Jesus, why'd I do that? He can tell you if you listen. But we need to look for Him. Has anybody seen Jesus? I don't want people just seeing a church. I don't want people just seeing activities. Even prayer groups aren't worth much unless the prayer group sees Jesus. Nothing that we do makes any difference unless it causes people to see Jesus. Yeah, but you know, we got to do all this and we got to keep up with it. And you know, the church today has got to compete with the world. And in all the things we've got to offer, the church has to offer them everything that the world has so they can have it, but have it in a churchly atmosphere. Where's Jesus? Anybody seen Him? Did He attend? Did they talk about Him? Was this thing focused on Him? Did you see Jesus? And I was talking with Laverne on the way down here this morning. And I told her I was going to work this into this message some way or other. Now, who said I meddled? Somebody did. Well, I'm going to meddle a little bit right now. And if it doesn't affect you, and I'm not saying it does, it's probably something you can use when somebody comes to you with a problem that fits in this category. I have seen people through the years of ministry that I've been 39 years, and I've seen people excited about the Lord. And I'm going to focus this down. I've seen a lot of single people, focused on the Lord, seeking God's will, believing God for a mate. At that point, Jesus is their only focus. He's all they see. Jesus, thank you for my mate to work with men or women. Thank you for my mate. Lord, I'm believing you for a mate. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You've let Him know you're looking for a mate, so now you stop. Because I can promise you that when you pray that prayer, somebody will show up shortly. And the reason I know that is because the powers that be against us are working just like the power that's working for us. And when you say something out loud, something besides Jesus is going to hear it. And right after that, here is this person. There they are. Thank you, God. You don't ask God, is that the one? You just say, thank you, God, and grab it. And that goes on all the time. And then something else happens. All of a sudden now, all that focus that was on Jesus shifts to this direction. One of the things that I wrote, and you may have seen it, and you may not have on Facebook, about our anniversary, is when I made mention of Laverne's relationship with God. I said, she has a strong relationship with God, and that's all right with me because that puts me in second place, and it's been a real blessing. And there's no time in our marriage that I can ever say that I believe she loved me more than she loved Jesus. I wasn't even going to kid myself about that one. But she kept her eyes focused on him. I know people, and I'm not going to call any names, and if you know them, just pray for them and don't judge them. Now, money, business. I've seen believers that really love God and pray for God to bless their business. And God blesses their business so much that they don't even have time to come to church now. Do they still come into church? Do they still honor God? No. You know, I got to take care of this business. I've seen people, I've seen Christians, I've seen four families spiritually devastated that were really on fire for God, really on fire for God, really love God, really serve God, really active in the kingdom of God. Four families. Two of them went into business together. Both of their wives telling them, it's not right. But they did it anyway. They took their eyes off Jesus. The businesses went kaput, and the marriages did the same. And it was four. Not, now this is just one couple. The other partnership, the business just broke up, and their friendship was destroyed. But it didn't affect their home life. But all of these things because, hey, I got an idea. And let me tell you this, all those little light bulbs that come on top of your head, make sure that Jesus lit them. Make sure the devil didn't step in the back door and say, yeah, I'll light that up for you. There you go. Head that direction. Be careful what you're looking at. Make up your mind that you really want to see Jesus. And to conclude, which means I'm going to read another scripture, from Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and it's not talking about people in heaven looking over the banners of heaven cheering you on. The great cloud of witnesses is all of these people of faith in chapter 11. Have already gone. They're witnesses. Witnesses that if you do this, this will happen. If you trust God, it will work out. Now it may not work out to suit you, but it will work out. since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. And the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now that sounds like a hard assignment. A hard assignment. Oh, how do I do that? How do I lay aside every weight? How do I deal with the sin that so easily besets me? How do I run with endurance the race that's set before me? How do I get through all of these things? Well, the answer is the next few words in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The author and finisher of our faith. That could be author and finisher, could be translated originator and perfecter. He gave you your life. He gave it to us through His faith. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God. Don't put your faith in your faith. Put your faith in Jesus' faith. When you put your faith in His faith, it's not going to fail. But you know how you have to keep, how you can, the only thing you can do to keep your faith in Jesus' faith is to keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. It's amazing to me with some people, and I know I'm sounding judgmental, and I don't mean to be judgmental, I'm just critiquing. This is just a critique. That there are churches, and they operate effectively in what they're doing, but for some reason or other, it doesn't seem that Jesus has much of a place in what they're doing. Their baseball league, they're so big a church, their baseball league is really attracting a lot of people. What are they hearing? How to play baseball? How to play basketball? No matter what you do, you can't take your eyes off Jesus. Nothing else will work if you take your eyes off Jesus. Even if it looks successful, it's not successful if it doesn't focus your attention to Jesus. That's the only thing that I've got to tell you, that your hope is in Jesus. And that He hath given you everything you need. He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. But don't take your eyes off of Him, because when you take your eyes off of Jesus, you're not going to like what you see. There are so many discouraged people in the world because they have no hope. Because they can't see any future. Because the Lord knows why. Some of them believe what they believe. They want to make you believe it. They want to deny the principles of this word and replace it with their opinion of what culture should be like. I've said this before. If Jesus is the first thing you see, and this book is your first place of authority, and everybody adopted that position, the world's problems would be solved. All of them. And you know, one of these days it's going to be that way. We get to see it. But you know, you got to see it now. See the heavens. Open up the heavens. We want to see you. The heavens are open. You know how they're open? Jesus opened them. Jesus opened them. And when you pray, you're not praying to a hard of hearing God. You don't have to yell and scream and cut yourself and all the things that the Baal prophets did on Mount Carmel. And Elijah, all he did was just pray and believe. And you know why it happened for him and not for them? Because they had their eyes on the wrong light. On the wrong light. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and finisher of your faith. He's your forever Savior. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never let you go. And He said, don't walk in darkness. Don't just make choices that lead you down the wrong path. Make sure you got your eyes on Jesus. Will what I'm doing glorify Him? Will what I am doing allow people to see Jesus in me? And that's another issue altogether. And I'm not going to preach a message on that. I started by telling you this morning that I bought me a whole box of rabbits. I mean, I got 6 or 8 boxes of rabbits with me this morning. But I'm not going to open them. But if Jesus is in you and you got your eyes on Him right, you know what you're going to do? You're going to shine. You're going to shine. And people are going to see that. And it's going to make a difference. And what you're going to do is you're going to say, give Jesus the credit. Give Jesus the credit. That's what you got to do. You see, if you put Jesus on your pedestal, He'll never fall off. If you put some man or some woman on a pedestal, no matter how good and righteous you think they are, don't put them on a pedestal. Because they will, sometime or other, fall off. You know, sometimes we look at people and we think, boy, I wish I could be like them. You don't know what's going on in their lives. But you know what's going on with Jesus. All you got to do is read this book and then believe it. Trust Him. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep a lookout for Him. He's always around. All you got to do is just look at Him. Looking unto Jesus. Looking. The word signifies undivided attention. Looking away from all distractions in order to fix one's gaze on one object. The word here in Hebrews 12:2 is having eyes for no one but Jesus. Having eyes for no one but Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith. You won't go wrong. You will fall down every once in a while. But you got somebody there not to put their foot on your head and crush you in the dirt. But someone will say, here, I'll pick you up, dust you off. Now, continue with your race. You mean I don't have to go back to the beginning and start over? Yeah. Just take my word for it. Keep your eyes on me. Start from here. Go on. You got my permission. Get a good, strong, strong look at Jesus. Let's stand. Brother Danny McClister went to Lexington yesterday afternoon to the hospital. I don't even know which hospital for sure. I think maybe the Baptist hospital. And this morning they were supposed to do some a heart cath on him. They had said some problems, real strong chest pains, weakness. Been going on for a while. So we want to pray for him and just keep him in your heart this week. Anything else supposed to happen before we're dismissed? When I'm done praying, okay. Don't y'all jump and run. When I say amen, hold your ground. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for always being with us. Always having the light for us. Thank you for the psalm that says that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And you are the Word. And you were made flesh. And you dwelt among us. And we beheld you as the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. And we pray, Lord God, that we'll take the light that we have and let you magnify it. Lord, I don't want to shine just like a flashlight. I want to shine like one of the lights on a football field at night. I even want to shine like the sun. Shine like the sun, Lord. That is S-U-S-O-N. You, Jesus. Shine like you. Shine like the sun. I thank you for blessing each one who's here this morning. I thank you, Lord God, that it's going to give them something to think about, give them encouragement, that when things around them are not looking good, that we come to you and we look at you and we see those things. Thank you, Lord God, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord God, for the work that's going on in Brother Danny. The prayers have been lifted up, and Lord God, we just come together now and we just declare his healing in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord God, for the rapid recovery for Sister Shirley. And we thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to be together with brothers and sisters. People we love, friends, Lord God, from long time back. Lord God, bless them. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh.